Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Thursday, the 23rd of November, recording at 8:33 p.m. Greenwich Mean Time. And you might wonder, on this quieter day due to the U.S. markets being mostly closed because of the Thanksgiving Day holiday, what on earth am I still doing here and recording so late in the day? And the answer is that this morning I went to a lecture, a three-hour lecture given on India by Deepak Lalwani, who writes the India Report. It was extremely interesting, and all I'll say is that I certainly didn't hear anything to dent the enthusiasm for India that I have and that I know that many of you have. More on that later, but first a quick review of what's going on, what went on here today in the markets. And stock markets, well, quiet, but mostly steady. The Asian markets a little bit stronger than Europe. There may well be a factor at play here that could be influencing the European markets, although they're still very, very steady. U.S. closed, as you know. Government bonds in Europe down a little bit. Here today, the U.S. dollar a bit easier in here today, and it's been soft generally, as you're probably well aware. Precious metals, to the extent that there was any action here, were firm, and the oil price ranged about, had dipped for most of the day, but then closed just down 6 cents on the day. And industrial metals are very strong. A new high for nickel, and zinc is also rallying up steadily. Backwardations for both of those two metals widened in here today, which is a good bullish clue. Okay. So let's get back to the global stock markets. Well, we still have these orderly, very orderly, albeit somewhat overextended trends. But the saving grace with an overextended trend is it accelerating exponentially? In other words, a steepening curve to that trend, clearly steepening curve, or is it a fairly orderly affair punctuated by at least small consolidations? And the answer is the latter for the most part. Some of them have steepened a bit. So I think that the main risk here is that, as I've said before, is that we could see a longer and somewhat deeper consolidation. Nothing like the sharp correction that we saw back in May and June, and not at this time at any rate, and not from these levels at this time. And this is an attractive period. Seasonally, markets have momentum, and there are some people who've been a bit bearish who are still chasing markets in here. Fortunately, we are not among that group. So I think it's still okay, and the charts will tell us when markets are getting into trouble. But if I look a bit further out, I think that, again, at some point in the next few weeks, if we're lucky, this won't happen. Well, what's luck in this? I was going to say it doesn't matter whether it occurs sooner or later, but some people might like to see more gains this year. So I'll go back to that. What I said, if we're lucky, we may see the strength carry right on through year end. But at some point, as I say, we will see a bit of a bigger, more lengthy consolidation than we have seen. That's nothing to lose sleep over. The only point I would make is one doesn't want to be too aggressive in here in terms of increasing positions at this particular time. So, what about some of those storm clouds that I've referred to as potentially being out on the horizon, or I've said were visible out on the horizon, but not a threat at all in terms of markets right now? And the two main ones would be rising long-dated government bond yields. That's not happening yet. And the other would be a sharp recovery in the price of crude oil, and that's not happening yet. So again, this is not a dangerous period for stock markets beyond being a little bit overextended following the persistent strength that they have seen. Now, moving on, the dollar has been quite soft in here recently. This is in line with the overall fuller money view that it would mostly range, but that the bias was downwards. And it's quite interesting here, seeing the euro testing its highs, seeing sterling not that far off its highs against the dollar. And when I referred to the euro, of course I meant against the US dollar. And the dollar coming off, or it's now well off its highs against the yen, currently trading 116.27. So a softer dollar in here. And again, I think, well, I know Owen wrote about this in his fine comment yesterday, saying that as long as people were thinking that the US economy was continuing to ease and that the debate was between a soft landing or a hard landing, our view is the soft landing. But more importantly, in terms of the actual of the US dollar, as long as they are considering the possibility of even considering, I should say, the possibility of a hard landing, then they would also be talking about interest rate cuts rather than interest rate hikes, and that would also be calling into question the durability of what has been the dollar's main prop of late, and that has been favorable interest rate differentials against the euro and sterling. And those differentials have narrowed, and people are expecting them to narrow further, either with the UK rates and euro rates most likely going up another quarter point notch, and with also the prospect of a scissors effect here with the US rates going down. And my hunch is that we won't get any change on the US rates for a while, but this trend for the dollar is weakening. And that is a bullish factor for the commodity prices, as they are mainly traded in US dollars. And I really feel, looking at the precious metals, that the only thing, and when you know, if you're looking at gold and silver in particular, the platinum market's been all over the place, but if you look at gold and silver, they're in these relatively tight ranges up near a high, I think, that we saw back in September. And this looks like a consolidation prior to another move on the upside. And it could be quite a strong move on the upside. Now, the one proviso here, the only thing that I see that can hold that back right now, I feel, is the oil price. So get the oil price a little bit firmer in here, and I think the precious metals are going to take off. And I suspect that there are a fair number of people who are interested in precious metals on a long-term basis, but are just not there at the moment. And that's what would provide the fuel for a sharp move. And you know, if you look at the precious metals in, you look at gold and silver in other currencies, and again, the charts suggests support building and that the next move will be on the upside. And it does not hurt to see the strength of the industrial metals. Now, the industrial metals has been the area where we've had near unanimity of opinion, contrary indicator of that, near unanimity of opinion that they were vulnerable. And I had been saying that the one that was I've been cautious of this sector, the industrial metal sector, in terms of the risks of medium-term corrections following such strong gains. But that said, I felt that copper was the one that looked most vulnerable but that it would not do much on the downside if the other metals remain strong, and I still have a long position in zinc, as you may know. So it's a sector that I like very much in the long term, and once again, I'm surprised by the actual firmness that we're seeing here, but and it's something that I would not rationalize, particularly when you get, as I mentioned earlier in the review, when you see the backwardations for nickel and zinc, which are leading this latest rally in that order. When you see the backwardations widening, this is not hedge fund short. Beg your pardon. This is not hedge fund buying here. And if anything, as I've said before, I suspect that more funds are short than long at this particular time, and that's a dangerous game. Global demand for these is still very, very strong overall. Now, the oil price. Have a look at this UBS commodities report. Okay, it was always going to have a bullish bias to it, primarily a bullish bias, but I think it's quite objective. There are some wonderful graphs there depicting mostly factual information, and it makes a strong case. Anybody who reads the oil section will not think anything other than what Owen and I think here, that this is just a medium-term correction, and that we're the next big move is going to be on the upside, and we are most likely in a gradual support building process. The short-term problem is that there is a lack of storage capacity for this temporary surplus, and that means that if you can't put the oil anywhere, well, then the price on the nearby months, the spot month position, in other words, that can be quite soft, particularly right around time of expiry. But the demand trend, and the UBS analysts, they're an award-winning team, incidentally, but the UBS metals analysts, I beg your pardon, talking about oil, the oil sector comment, they're looking for global demand to increase at 1.6% each year for a number of years into the future. And I think that's a very fair, that's not a rash forecast. That is a conservative forecast, actually, if we have the global economy synchronized in a period of GDP growth. So that demand trend remains strong. That demand for crude oil continued to rise during the last recession in 2001, 2002, as I've mentioned on many occasions, and I do not see anything other than a rising trend for crude. And the UBS report reviews some of the reasons why we may well see higher prices. And I think inevitably we'll see higher prices. It's just a question at the moment of how long this support building phase continues before we can say for certain that the lows during the medium-term correction are behind us. Okay, the Deepak Lalwani report. I said not the report, but the lecture that he gave at Regent's College. It was very, very good, extremely good presentation. And because I'm so bullish of India, I have to be on the lookout for factors that would indicate another correction. For instance, the I mean, it's useful if we can anticipate these, obviously. And it was hardly a surprise that we saw a sharp reaction in May and June. That one was easy to anticipate. But earlier, I think a couple of years ago, when the election, the surprise election result occurred, that one That one blindsided me, but my strategy is the same, is use any sell-off as a buying opportunity. And I did that again following the May-June correction, as you may know. A question I asked, what about the lottery of the monsoon? Because India's had another good monsoon, that's helped, and 70% of India's working population works in the agricultural industry. That total will go down, obviously, as modernization takes place. But Deepak had mentioned that the last time that occurred a number of years ago, and then in the early 1990s, that the GDP growth rate went from 6% per annum down to 4% per annum, which is a mighty big drop, because this was because of a poor monsoon, which hit the agricultural sector quite hard, and of course that will have a knock-on effect. He said that this risk, or the impact on the economy, would be a diminishing one over time, which I would certainly expect as well. But there is still a bit of a weather lottery there, because the agricultural sector is still very important. There still would be a knock-on effect if the farmers did badly. So that's the sort of thing that we need to be on the lookout for. But the main risk is the known one, that India is high beta. It deserves to be high beta, in terms of deserves to have a high rating. So it'll outperform on the upside, and it'll fall more than Wall Street when the global corrections occur. But I know which market I'd rather have, and I do not regard India as high risk. I regard it as high growth. The risk is only short to medium term in the beta, as we say. So thus the strategy: buy on the setbacks, and maybe use some trailing stops if it's racing ahead a little bit too quickly. But this is a market where I've said it before, if I had just one stock market, it would be India. And don't want to go on too long on this broadcast, so we'll have a more lively day tomorrow, I suspect, but well, it won't get much more lively than today. Today's action in the industrial metals. So, meanwhile, our many American subscribers, enjoy the rest of your Thanksgiving Day holiday, and I look forward to broadcasting and writing again tomorrow. All the best.